This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Bethel Police Department reported 16-year-old John D. Evan missing since 6:36 p.m. last night. The Alaska Native teenager was last seen leaving 262 Weber with four white trash bags full of clothes. Evan is about 5'4" and weighs 130 pounds. He wore a red, white, and blue cap with the word Ford written on it. Bethel Police urges anyone with information to call them at 543-3781. Yesterday evening, over 100 Bethel residents gathered to peacefully protest the death of George Floyd, a black man who was killed by Minneapolis police. The Black Lives Matter movement has resonated with Bethel residents who are predominantly Alaska Native, another group familiar with iniquities in law enforcement. KYUK's Greg Kim attended the protest to learn more about what drew out such a large crowd.
The crowd of protesters met in the Cultural Center parking lot, nearly everyone with a face mask on. Many brought cardboard signs. One read, quote, "All lives cannot matter until Black lives matter." Organizers thanked state troopers for being in attendance. Prior to the event, an individual had posted on Facebook that he would be attending the march armed with a weapon, but the demonstration remained peaceful. Cece Franco, one of the event organizers, requested a moment of silence.
Starting now.
8 minutes and 46 seconds, the amount of time a police officer kept his knee on George Floyd's neck before Floyd died. Among the rally speakers, Adam London wanted to remind the group that George Floyd was just one of many who died at the hands of law enforcement.
Ahmaud Arbery's life mattered. Tamir Rice's life mattered. Trayvon Martin's life mattered. That is just a few of the many names of black lives that mattered.
A study published in 2019 finds that a black man is 2.5 times more likely than a white man to be killed by police. But African Americans are not the only group to be disproportionately targeted by police, as London pointed out.
We especially here in Bethel, in Western Alaska, we share a little bit of their story.
The same study shows Alaska Natives are between 1.1 and 2.1 times more likely to be killed by police than Caucasians. State House Representative Tiffany Zolkowski said she was protesting to address injustices against both groups.
It's for all of the black lives, but it's also for all people of color who experience that.
Bethel has had its own experiences with police brutality. In July of 2014, a surveillance camera caught a former Bethel police officer slamming an Alaska Native man on the ground multiple times in the AC parking lot. The officer was fired and served jail time for fourth-degree assault and official misconduct. Acting Police Chief Amy Davis said the incident had a big impact on the department.
It gave us a black eye for sure, but I can tell you within the department it wasn't condoned.
She says the 2014 incident spurred the department to adopt body cameras, which officers are required to turn on any time they interact with the public. And whenever an officer uses force, Davis says at least 3 supervisors review the action to ensure it was appropriate. She feels the department is good at policing itself.
I can't tell you one officer that would stand by and watch something happen that they didn't feel was right. I feel like our crew right now would stand up and say something.
From the Cultural Center, the protesters marched to Watson's Corner and back as cars driving by honked in support. One of the group's organizers, Nelly Agimuk, has high hopes for what the protest can achieve.
My hope is just to end racism in itself.
Despite the large crowd, there were only a few African Americans in attendance. The last U.S. Census recorded the black population in Bethel at around 2%. One of the protesters, Gary Howard, shared some of his experience as a black man in the United States.
Everywhere you go as an African American, someone's gonna look at you crazy or say something under their breath. I mean, I'm 28, so I've been dealing with this since I was a kid. But in Bethel, I haven't really had any problems with that, luckily.
He says he feels solidarity with Alaska Natives who he knows have suffered some of the same disproportionate violence at the hands of law enforcement as a black community. Asked what he thought about the protests, though, he said his feelings were mixed.
I mean, it's great that everyone's coming together to try to make a change, but I don't know, I've seen this a lot, so hoping for a change, but we'll see.
Howard says it's difficult to see the same thing happen over and over again without justice being served. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Starting Wednesday, June 3rd, there will be a set net opening on the Kuskokwim River, lasting 24 hours from 11 a.m. to 11 a.m. Set gill nets may be 6-inch or less mesh and may not exceed 60 feet in length, 45 meshes in depth, and may not be operated more than 100 feet from the ordinary high water mark. All set gill nets must have an attached keg or buoy with the fisherman's first initial, last name, and address. There will be similar set net openings on June 6th and 9th. And finally, the winter may have been a cold one, but this summer appears to be ramping up to be another hot one. That's from Alaska climatologist Rick Toman, who says Southwest Alaska is one of the places on the planet warming up the fastest. Toman says the big player in this warming is the ocean temperature, which in the Bering Sea remained warm despite the cold winter. That, coupled with the change in wind direction from the north last winter to the south in March, has set the stage for faster ice melting in the ocean and warmer temperatures for spring and summer.
And so, except for the far northern Bering Sea, where the last of the ice is now melting out, Bering Sea temperatures are above normal now, and that is contributing to the sustained warmth that we've had across the region since the middle of March.
This May was the second warmest on record, and Toman says it's part of a trend that will persist.
If the weather cooperates, we could get ice forming in more typical times, and that would then take our finger off the scale for warmth. If, on the other hand, either it warms up a lot, or if we just happen to be in a weather pattern that supports mild weather in the fall, bringing repeated shots of warm air and not letting ice form, then we could be looking at another really warm fall.
The average yearly temperature for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta region is now 36 degrees, well above freezing, and that, says Toman, means continuing loss of permafrost. How long will the warmth last, and will it be another record-breaking year? Toman says with the extreme cold this winter, he doubts this will be a record-breaking hot year. But that doesn't mean the warm summer might not stretch into the fall. Again, a lot will depend on the ocean and the direction of the winds and storms.
If the weather cooperates, we could get ice forming in more typical times, and that would then take our finger off the scale for warmth. If, on the other hand, either it warms up a lot, or if we just happen to be in a weather pattern that supports mild weather in the fall, bringing repeated shots of warm air and not letting ice form, then we could be looking at another really warm fall.
Toman says the cold this winter is just an example of year-to-year variability. It does not alter the planetary trend towards a warmer climate overall. In a story about airline service in the YK Delta, KYUK misstated Dan Kniezek's title. He is Vice President of Operations, not Vice President of Community Relations. KYUK regrets the error. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.